It was 7:22 on the morning of April 15, 1865. The gaunt form stretched on the bed in the room of the house on 10th Street in Washington, D.C., stopped breathing. Secretary of War for the United States, Edwin M. Stanton, turned to the window and pulled down the shade to shut off bright sunlight. Turning again, he looked down at the lifeless body. Here he uttered the word that would define this deep man more than anything else. In half voice, he said to those screaming around the bed, "Now he belongs to the ages." This is the shortest biography of Abraham Lincoln, and by far the most truthful and one of the best. For as his earthly life had come to an end, his spirit was released to the ages to come, and his name became spiritual inspiration. But greater than Lincoln could ever be stands the towering figure of Christ, who inspired Lincoln for his service to the nation and helped define his character. Jesus is truly the age of the ageless, and he is whom all generations belong to. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's been called by many names: the Messiah, the Wonderful One, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Lord, Savior, King. Scripture says that the human heart has sought him. Human hands and minds have written about him. Human eyes have sought to see him. Human hearts have loved him and believed him in the face of death. When the last day of this kingdom, of this world, shall become the kingdom of our Lord and our God, there shall be an ageless, deathless, unchanging Christ. We don't change him. He changes us. Overlooking the ancient city of Antioch, there is a cavern where, according to tradition, the early Christian disciples used to meet, and where Peter preached to them. As he stands in front of the cavern, it overlooks the city with its mosque, its markets, its bazaars, its palm trees, and its vibrant gardens. Beyond the city runs the Orontes River, which flows from snow-covered mountains, passing through the city on towards the sea. Hour by hour and day by day, year by year, the river has been changing. In fact, for the last few hundred years, the local folks say that bridges have been moved to new locations 28 times. But the mountain from which this river derives its strength and power looks down upon Antioch, and its flowing river is the same as when Peter and the first disciples met to break bread and praise their Lord and their King. Now, I tell you this story because Christ also looks down today and looks down upon the ever-changing flow of human history. He has watched nations rise and fall. He generations of humans coming and going. He has seen doctrines altered or abandoned. Everywhere before his face is the ebb and flow of life. Above the world is this strength, this mountain of love, of power, of truth, supplying the grace and the love of God to all his children. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The author of the book of Hebrews takes as his theme Christ, the speaker of destiny. He says, "They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, and like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same,
and your ears will never hear.
So the author of that book, Christ is the eternal spirit. The sacrifice of God in His majestic love for you and me. The author goes on to contrast the kingdoms of this world with the changeless kingdom of Christ in the human heart. He says that earthly kingdoms shall be shaken and broken down, that the kingdom of God, however, shall remain forever and forever. He contrasts the changelessness of Jesus with our changing lives and the life of the world. He calls out the heroes of faith from Abel to David, all who have served their generation and passed away, the disciples, the martyrs, the apostles, all the millions of the faithful are gone. But only one thing endures. And here the writer brings out the glorious refrain, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Peter Cartwright is a famous frontier preacher of the Methodist Church. And he often had to ride his horse through swollen rivers where there were no bridges or ferries. He said that whenever he looked down, the rapid flow of water always sickened him. And occasionally he would fall off the horse into the water. After several of these experiences, he learned what he had to do. He said that before venturing across the river, he would look for some fixed object on the other side. A large rock, a hilltop, or a great oak tree. He would fix his eyes on the object, and from there, he was able to cross the river safely. Never once did he fall after that, so long as he kept his eyes fixed on that object across the river. In the always flowing stream of life, we need to lift our eyes to that eternal object of God's love. If the spirit of Jesus Christ never changes, then His teachings will also never change, for they reflect that spirit. Science can change. Philosophy can change. We change. But Christ never changes. Don't believe me? Then tell me which of His things are obsolete, outmoded, irrelevant, or no longer applicable. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Love one another, even as God loves you. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Judge not, lest you be judged. Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He does not change. He changes us. And this is what's happening in our world. When He taught in the street 2,000 years ago, He is teaching today in every country across this world. When He taught in Jerusalem, He's teaching right now in Wauwatosa. And He is going to continue to teach. He will not be changed, but He'll change you and me. As long as the heart has greed and hate, as long as life is filled with woe and travail, words of divine love will always speak compellingly to the souls of all humanity. He will change us. His words are the ultimate truth. God will not be mocked, and His ways and His truth will abide forever. Our society places a great deal of value in education. And we link education as a key to an abundant life. We spend billions of dollars on our educational system and have tried to make higher education accessible to all. Now, in spite of all this abundant knowledge, we have thrown our world into bloody chaos because we haven't learned how to live together, how to be brothers and sisters, how to love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly before the Lord our God. Our society believes that science holds the key, and we implore science to break all the chains that bind us and to heal all the wounds that afflict us. You know, the latest pandemic confirms the deepest fears in each of us. We wonder what new and terrible device, plague, or weapon will rain down death and destruction. Now, when we think about it, it's easy to say, well, you know, Christianity hasn't done very much in the past 2,000 years of its history. But I ask you in all sincerity, have you ever really tried the Christian way? Have we ever been able to return good to those that have wronged us? He did. Have we ever really forgiven injustice, not once, but continuously? He did. Have we ever given our all to feed the poor, to heal the lame, cure the sick, comfort the dying? He did. Remember the two criminals that were crucified next to Jesus, as Mr. Rondeau read this morning? As they hung between heaven and earth, one criminal turned to Christ and said, if you are Christ, save yourself and us. In other words, if you are who you say you are, that you can do all these things, what are you waiting for? Save yourself and then save us. Let's see you do it. The other criminal had been watching this man die. The other had heard his words from the cross. Father, forgive them. Something happened. Reprimanding the criminal, he cried, do not fear God, see you in the same condemnation. We truly received a just reward for our deeds, but this man, he's done nothing wrong. Then turning to Jesus, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Yes, he's the Christ of your yesterday. Have you had failures? Have you had mistakes? Have you committed sins? Here's what he said to us. Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though as red as crimson, they shall become as wool. God is continually working in this world. His salvation to all of his children. He's working through you and through me. He guides and directs us by his Spirit through the wilderness. He brings each one of us out of our past into the present and directs us to the future. God is forever bringing us out of the old and into the new. He's always pressuring us against the destructive tendencies of apathy, indifference, and carelessness. God works in mysterious ways. He gave to Israel in her bondage a Moses, and will convey his will today to those he has called into service. God speaks to men and women in all ages. He took the soul of a Lincoln, and God said, let my people go. And they were set free. He took the brain of an Edison, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. He took the skill of a Dr. John Saul, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. He He is the Christ for our tomorrow. For he said to each of us, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I am with you always, until the end. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today,